The feud between Tucker Carlson and Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro continues to rumble on, and boy, is it delivering. I'm telling you, the video that Tucker Carlson made on Levin and Shapiro last week is probably the single best video that Tucker Carlson has ever made. And considering some of the stuff he's done in the past, that is pretty strong praise. Honestly, Tucker put on a clinic, an absolute clinic. He brought out his absolute, his it was S tier. He brought out all of the guns. He took Levin and Shapiro to Suplex City. And in this video, I'm going to break down exactly how he destroyed his two opponents. In honestly, I was actually in awe of how brilliant Tucker was. And I'm going to break it all down. I've made 10 points. 10 overarching points that we're going to go through in detail. We're going to have a look at some clips. But before we get there, I'll remind everyone, pick up Applied Elite Theory today in all good bookshops. Also pick up a course from the Academic Agency. Trivium, the bestseller there. Especially this video, I'm looking at argumentation, how to break down logic, rhetoric, and so on. The Trivium is the course, and I'm going to be going through some of the principles I talk about there as well. Now, a lot of people have said I've got quite riled up in recent videos and have requested a return for the bang pillow. Well, this is not quite the same pillow as I used last time, but I'm gonna put it there just in case I get worked up here. So, in this masterclass, Tucker made 10 points. There's an overarching thesis, which is point one, and then under that, we've got lots of kind of sub-points, which we're going to go through in a second. What is the overarching thesis? It is that Shapiro and Levin prioritise a tiny country, specifically Israel, over the USA. Right? This was the overarching argument he was making. There was another argument too about how to be nicer people and don't turn into Mark Levin. Sargon made a video going into all of that. But if you ask me, that was the sub point. The main point was the point about Israel. And since Carl's not going to talk about it, I will. I'll talk about it, okay? So let's go into each of the points. So, obviously, I don't need a clip for the overarching point. Tucker is going to demonstrate throughout his argument the overarching thesis that Shapiro and Levin prioritise the tiny country, okay? The first thing, so he started, first of all, with an attack on, or a defence against, Levin. So the first points here are all about Levin, and then he turns and then he dissects Shapiro. And the way in which he takes apart his opponents, honestly, it's one for the ages. If you haven't seen it, you should go and watch Tucker's video and then come back and watch my breakdown. This video is intended for people who've already seen it, basically. I want to kind of call the plays as I've been following this feud in some detail.
Made the debate instead about, why do you hate the Jews? You're a Nazi. And of course, that was never what the debate was about, because Israel, the nation of Israel, the one with the parliament, the Knesset, and the military, the IDF, and lots of people and tech firms, and is not, by the way, exclusively Jewish, and it isn't actually the same as all Jews in the world at all. And in fact, there are a lot of Jews around the world who have mixed feelings about Israel or certainly don't want a regime change war in Iran. But the people who do want that in the United States, Israel's proxies in the United States, its defenders, its professional defenders in the U.S., immediately made the debate about the Jews.
So the second point that Tucker made was how Levin and Anne Shapiro rely on inversion and gaslighting. That is completely turning around the opposite of what is happening and presenting that as if it's the main concern, which is a form of gaslighting. This is a tactic the Zionists use an awful lot, I've noticed. And specifically, he says that Levin inverts the argument by claiming that opponents want to kill Jews, right? Levin continually invokes this idea that Tucker and people like him want to kill Jews, okay? When the actual argument, the actual opposition coming from Tucker, is nothing to do with that. It is opposition to the US involvement in a regime change war against Iran on behalf of Israel. And the unwillingness of Levin and Shapiro and those sorts of people to actually engage in that argument, because they're scared, because they know they'll lose that argument, is instead to try to make it all about Jews or something like this, okay? Instead of what it's actually about, which is the appropriate use of military force, American resources, American priorities. And you see, it's always projection, because it's actually they who want to kill their enemies, want to use force to kill their enemies. And what Tucker is saying is, you know, by trying to make this argument, they flip it round to argue the total opposite of what is happening, which is a form of projection as well. Defenders of Israel made the debate about hating Jews and calling people anti-Semites to cow the opposition into acquiescing and falling in line. And because Tucker hasn't done that, they're going absolutely crazy at the moment. So the first thing Tucker did was call out this standard tactic of inversion and gaslighting.
The second thing you notice is how totally personal this is. You're members of the Third Reich. You're Nazis. You're evil. You're an Islamist. You hate Jews. You're an anti-Semite. You hate America. Okay. That's ad hominem. There's no even attempt to address the argument that anyone Mark Levin doesn't agree with is making. Instead, it's just attacking them as people.
What is the second thing? Well, part of this whole playbook is, again, avoiding making arguments and resorting to name-calling and insults, ad hominem. So the second point is that Levin, rather than making arguments, relies on personal ad hominem attacks, labelling opponents Nazis, Islamists, jihadis, Jew haters, thugs, without addressing their substantive arguments. Always anything to get out of actually making an argument. And I've noticed this is an enduring feature of this particular group of Zionists that Tucker is dealing with here. They never actually make an argument. They're always just straight to name calling, which is ironic, because that's what the left used to do, the woke left, you remember them? They also had no arguments. They were just calling people names all the time.
Carlson, Owens, Kelly, Bannon. It is a time for choosing. You pick the good guys or the bad guys. You pick America or you pick the Third Reich. They're not MAGA. They're not conservative. In fact, they're more Marxist, Islamist, America-hating, Jew-hating thugs than anything else. And let me educate them briefly. The Babylonians couldn't kill the Jews. The Persians couldn't kill the Jews. The Romans couldn't kill the Jews. Hitler couldn't kill the Jews, and by this I mean eliminate them. You think you're puny little asses are going to be able to do it?
Kill the Jews? Your first thought is, wait a second, how do we get to that? No, just don't want a regime change war against Iran. By the way, a war in which Jews would die, presumably, both in the U.S. military and the IDF. Like, no, don't want to kill anybody. Actually, that's kind of the point. You want to kill the Jews? So the first thing you notice is like the total inversion of what the argument actually is. It's an argument about to what extent should U.S. military power be used on behalf of another country, not the United States. That's it. That's the debate. And all of a sudden it becomes the Babylonians, the Nazis trying to kill the Jews. So again, it's an inversion. He's accusing his opponents of really what he wants, as always.
Fourth, distraction. And this is the thing that winds me up more than anything else. It's always whataboutism. It's always a distraction, some diversion from the matter at hand. And, you know, the real issue. What's the real issue? Should America be giving unconditional support to this tiny little country in the Middle East? Levin wants to accuse his opponents of, you know, killing Jews. He invokes historical examples like the Babylonians, Romans, Nazis, despite the debate actually being about the US military, you know, American foreign interests versus Israel's interests. That's the conversation that Tucker wants to have. Instead now, Levin wants him to deal with, you know, the Babylonians in the Bible and all this kind of it's just another distraction from talking about the actual issue at hand.
So Mark Levin is already there. And we know that because Mark Levin has repeatedly, and he's not the only one, but he's the most blunt, has repeatedly called for just murdering civilians, children in Gaza because they're Amalek or whatever. They're stained by blood guilt. Prime Minister of Israel said exactly the same thing. They are guilty by virtue of how they were born. So that, by definition, includes women and children. So Mark Levin is not clever enough to keep the implications of these views to himself, and he said them repeatedly on television, just to give you a sense about how Mark Levin feels about human life and the human soul. Watch this.
And I'm supposed to, what, shed crocodile tears for what's going to happen to these people? I'm not. Maybe I'm the only one who will voice it, but I'm not. Israel has every right to throw every damn thing it has at barbarians. And if there are innocent people, quote-unquote civilians, who are killed, then maybe they ought to organize to take out the government they elected. Tapper and the others are saying there's 2 million Palestinians in Gaza. They're not all terrorists. They don't all believe in Hamas. They really have no choice. Let me ask you a question. Is that how we treated the German people when we were fighting the Third Reich? Well, they're not all Nazis. I mean, you got to fight to win and survive. You can't sit there and figure all that stuff out. Oh, but don't hurt the civilians. Look, we have to defend ourselves. The Israelis have to defend ourselves. The free world has to defend itself. And if there's collateral damage, well, that's too bad.
Fifth, because Levin has no actual arguments, he resorts to violence and calls for violence. This is something that Tucker honed in on quite a lot. Levin justifies violence, including the murder of civilians in Gaza, because they are quote-unquote Amalek, whatever the hell that is, and or stained by blood guilt, extending to women and children. So it's actually Levin who wants to use violence in lieu of arguments to silence his opposition. And Tucker very expertly drew together how the violence that Levin wishes on Palestinian women and children also then applies to his domestic opponents, like Tucker Carlson, like Nick Fuentes and so on, who he is implicitly calling. I mean, don't forget, when Levin made his speech at that event a couple of weeks ago, he didn't just say Tucker should be cancelled. He said that Tucker doesn't deserve any friends, doesn't deserve any loved ones, doesn't deserve a place in society at all. He was basically calling for Tucker to be deleted, really, from society in general, not just from a platform.
Of Western principles. And those principles begin with, we reject blood guilt. And because we do, we reject collective punishment and genocide. A lot of us thought that was a consensus after World War II. That was the lesson of the Nazi regime. Should have been the lesson of the Soviet regime, which, of course, practiced collective punishment and committed genocide against Christians. Most people don't even know that. It did more efficiently than the Nazis did. But all of it is terrible. All of it is awful. And a lot of us thought that was the main lesson that we were supposed to take away from the war. And by the way, that's a great lesson. That's an excellent lesson. We should take that lesson from the Second World War. And then you wake up and there's Mark Levin, and not just Mark Levin, but our policymakers, our members of Congress. Most of whom are not Jewish, by the way. This, like, infected everybody. That's okay. It's not okay. It'll never be okay. It's a shame. It's shameful behavior. It's a stain on this country. You can't fight people unless you think you're morally superior to them. You shouldn't be. And how can you say you're morally superior if you're operating from the same assumption, which is that everyone on the other side should be killed because of how they were born? But that is absolutely Mark Levin's assumption. And he said it out loud. Look at this Twitter exchange. Watch this. She's basically saying, I don't understand like why we're getting involved in all this stuff. And Mark Levin is saying, well, you're a Nazi. And someone writes in and says, Mark, I'm not even, you know, I may be on your side or not, but what you're saying is actually creating anti-Semitism. And he's saying, and I'm quoting, anti-Semitism is, quote, in your family's DNA. Who thinks that?
Which brings us to the sixth point that Tucker focused on, which is this notion of collective punishment, the sins of the father, remember? You know, they are always talking about blood libel. And I've never quite got, like, when they start talking about blood libel, I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? Tucker went into this in some great detail. He said that Levin implied that some Americans' DNA, their DNA, makes them inherently evil, justifying violence against them. Anti-Semitism is in your family's DNA, said Levin. Calling people Nazis freezes them as irredeemable, in Levin's eyes, deterring debate, diverting from the real issues, and basically avoiding the elephant in the room, which is, why is Israel controlling all of America's politics, and why is America using all of its resources for this tiny little country rather than tackling its real issues right now? This is the overriding point Tucker keeps on coming back to again and again. Principles, argues Tucker, actual ideas, values that they keep on talking about, reject notions like blood guilt, collective punishment, genocide, which was a consensus after World War II. Levin's attitude undermines this basic morality. So what Tucker did was he was contrasting, and again, I thought this was very interesting, a real tactic throughout this video of Tucker's was to contrast universal Christian principles, the universalism, you might say even the Faustianism of Europeans and people like him, and the binary good versus evil, Magian, as Spengler would call it, principles or morals of Levin. It's my way or the highway. If you're against me, you're evil. If you're against me, you need to be destroyed. And Tucker was saying this is just not how civilized Western people think. It's how people like Mark Levin think, which I thought was a very interesting point. And this brings us then to the Ben Shapiro section, which I thought was even stronger than that. He was already cooking with diesel, Tucker was, in the Levin section. But now when we get to the Ben Shapiro bit, I really thought this was a masterstroke, because he found this bit of Shapiro talking about Maduro and talking about the cultural conservatism under Maduro in Venezuela. And he played this clip of Shapiro saying, I don't give a shit. Don't give a shit, with a loud cheer from the crowd. And Tucker honed in on that.
Tucker's made the point, I'm not going to here to be Tucker's defender, but he's made the point that Maduro is culturally conservative.
Who gives a shit? The guy's a communist dictator. Everyone in his country is eating dog. He's shipping fentanyl to the United States to kill Americans. Why do I give a shit whether he's anti-LGBTQ rights?
Who gives a shit? I do. I'm not moving to Venezuela. I'm not pro Maduro. But I care about that. Why wouldn't I care about that? I've got kids. Like, first of all, I'm against abortion. Unpopular. I feel that way. I think it's really sad. I would personally become poorer to end abortion, voluntarily become poorer to end abortion in the United States. That's not a choice. Don't want to become poorer, but I would, because I care about it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're offended that I do, but I care about it. Lots of people care about it. I don't think pornography is good. That really hurts people. You know, I don't think pretending that the sexes are the same is good. And you claimed that you didn't think it was good. But it turns out, quote, I don't give a shit. Maduro's against Israel. Oh, okay. I don't give a shit. Well, you spent like a decade pretending you did give a shit, that you were on the side of like normal Americans who have a mix of concerns. They definitely care about economics and they care about social issues too because they have children and they see where this is going. It's not good. That your economic condition is not the only measure of health. Your spiritual condition matters too. It's just a fact. It does. If you're totally degraded, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It's not worth it. It's not worth getting the whole world and losing your soul. Sorry. And most people feel the way, but not Ben Shapiro. He doesn't give a shit. So why the hostility? Well, maybe because if you keep talking about the so-called social issues, which are not limited to abortion and pornography and gay marriage, the trans issue, they get pretty quickly to economics, to usury.
To make the overriding point that Shapiro does not care about principles at all. He only cares about Israel when push comes to shove. So he caught him basically in a bit of a Freudian slip here, because Shapiro dismissed the cultural conservatism in Venezuela with who gives a shit, despite that cultural conservatism being banning pornography, abortion, gay marriage, usury, which was something that I thought was very interesting that Tucker focused on. Because he did that, Shapiro wanted to say, well, I don't care about all of that because Maduro is a communist dictator who ships fentanyl. Okay, that's basically the point he was trying to make. Tucker then revealed that Shapiro pretends to care about American concerns, like the trans issue or any of these kind of culturally conservative things. He pretends to care. He pretends to be a conservative, but it's a trick. It's a mask to hide the fact that all Shapiro is really about is getting his audience on board with Israel. Tucker was saying that by not caring about Maduro's social conservatism, Shapiro cares more about Israel than America, the overriding point. He says that Shapiro and leaders like him lack love for the people they lead, which means that they're not fit to lead those people. Because it's clear that Shapiro doesn't give a shit. I thought this was a masterful, really clever bit of the Tucker argument. And it leads directly into the next part.
So, kind of looked around. Is this consistent with Ben Shapiro's worldview? Does he think GDP, the aggregate economic activity in a country, the bottom line number, which really doesn't tell you that much, but for simple people like Ben, who aren't sophisticated in their understanding of economics, that's important. GDP, GDP, GDP. Never hinting at the things that it doesn't measure, never hinting at what a distorted number that is, just like the inflation rate or the employment rate. I mean, these are not really real numbers. But is he really a guy who cares about GDP or economic activity or some people getting rich more than he cares about the lives of his fellow Americans? Boy, that's a pretty heavy charge. You'd hate to level that against anyone. You'd hate to claim that about anyone. Could this be a guy who really only cares about a foreign country? So we went looking. So first, and famously, don't even put it on the screen because I'm sure you've seen this, there was Ben Shapiro saying, you know, I'd be willing to vote for Bibi Netanyahu for president of the United States if only it were constitutionally allowed. Huh? You want some foreigner to run our country? Who even thinks like that? He said that. Maybe it was just he was getting carried away. He just loves Bibi so much. Loves the guy who is killing tens of thousands of children in Gaza so much that he wants him to run our country. Okay. But then we found a couple of other clips, which are recent, that give a window, not just, and I hate to be mean to poor Ben Shapiro, who's clearly going away as a media force. I hate to be mean to him. But this does reflect the worldview of an awful lot of people in Washington and a lot of people in Ben Shapiro's world. And that worldview is the people of this country don't really matter. They can be replaced. And by the way, if you complain about the fact they're being replaced, which they are at high speed, it's measurable, then you're a Nazi and you must shut up and be punished. But those people don't really matter. They should do what they're told. And ultimately, they should just serve the people for profiting from all of this. Does he really think that? Well, here are a couple of clips that you can watch carefully and answer the question for yourself. Here's Ben Shapiro.
We have trained an entire generation of people to believe that if their lives are not what they want them to be, it's the fault of systems, as opposed to decisions that are in their own control. And politicians absolutely have a stake in selling that. A lot of people in our industry have a stake in selling that. It makes people feel good about themselves and bad about the world. And the reality is, if you want a better life, you should feel better about the world and worse about yourself. If you're a young person and you can't afford to live here, then maybe you should not live here. I mean, that is a real thing. Yeah, I know that we've now grown up in a society that says that you deserve to live where you grew up. But the reality is that the history of America is almost literally the opposite of that.
It's hard to know where to start with that clip. I think that's been on the internet and people are experiencing gut level revulsion when they see it, and they really should. And there's so many ways to approach that. There's so many things wrong with those statements. So childish, those statements. So lacking an understanding of people or any connection really to the country at all. But really what you see underneath all of that is contempt for the people who live here. You have no right to live in the town where you were born just because your parents are buried there. Your ancestors built the town. Who do you think you are? Imagine feeling that way about someone in your own country. Imagine having that level of contempt for a fellow American. You don't even know anything about the person. It's young people. They're not entitled to live where they want. They'll live where BlackRock tells them they can live. It's like, whoa. If you had a thought like that, I've had some ugly thoughts. I just admitted having some ugly thoughts. Boy, I would try and push it back and not express it. Ben says it without any embarrassment because he means it. That's exactly right, because he means it.
Whew. Which is that Shapiro and his ilk don't care about Americans at all because they view the USA as a tax farm for Israel. They see America simply as an economic zone. It's not a home. It's not a nation. It's not a proper country with an identity and people and so on. It's a tax farm. And this is revealed by the callous attitude that Shapiro has towards the people. And again, Tucker expertly picked this apart. He said that Shapiro shows contempt for Americans and their ties to communities by saying that people who can't afford to live where they grew up should not live in those places. They have to move. Shapiro rejects retirement at the age of 65 as crazy talk, which shows a real disdain for the working class. I mean, I was reminded when I heard Shapiro say that of Boxer from George Orwell's 1984. Just crazy. Tasso Tucker was right again to highlight this. Next really strong point from Tucker was woke hypocrisy. Just called it woke hypocrisy. This is basically identity politics. They've spent the past 10 years saying identity politics is awful. When you choose a group over the nation, or when you choose, for example, a tiny country in the Middle East over your nation, and you say, well, I am this identity first and I'm American second. And Tucker, again, exposes the fact that Levin and Shapiro are always doing what is known as identity politics. And then they use the tactics of the woke, censorship, cancellations, bullying and hectoring, trying to squeeze funds, going after advertisers. These are all things that the woke did to Tucker Carlson back in the day. Now the woke is Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin. They're doing it again. It makes one wonder whether they were always happy with the situation of woke. Fuentes, in another video, pointed out that Ben Shapiro's had a virtual monopoly. He's been unopposed. The system was banning all of his opponents. You know, the woke were doing him a favour by removing all of the countervailing voices from view. He had a clear run. Something else that Tucker mentioned was that he's had a leg up from Facebook. all these years. Unopposed monopoly. And still, even with all those structural advantages, Ben Shapiro is losing the argument. Ben Shapiro is losing influence. Ben Shapiro has failed in his one job to try to convince millions and millions of people, because maybe he just hasn't had the competition. The likes of Tucker and Nick and many other channels have had evolutionary pressure, constant harassment and censorship and bannings, and they've had to kind of hone themselves. Shapiro has basically been unopposed. He's grown lazy, intellectually lazy, and he's kind of just leans on that structural advantage. And now, when his back is against the wall, he is exposed as being woke himself, as being the beneficiary of a system. And this is another thing that, you know, these 3 points on Shapiro, what Tucker was saying is that the reason Shapiro backs the system is because the system gives him a leg up. There is no greater beneficiary. There is no greater kind of example of affirmative action than Ben Shapiro himself. The system works to his benefit at the expense of real Americans, at the expense of all of those people who he just derisively refers to as incels, who, you know, oh, if you don't like it, you can just move.
So where will this go? Well, of course, the people who think the U.S. government should act always and everywhere on behalf of its own citizens, the America First people, those people are going to win the debate. In fact, there's never actually been a real debate. But when people's mind fog clears and they can think about what just happened, they'll understand that this was never about the Jews or anti-Semitism, much less Hitler, who's been dead for 80 years as of April. No, it was about, should the United States act in its own interests, or should it subvert its own interests on behalf of a foreign power with a very effective lobby in Washington? That's exactly what the debate is. And the answer is, of course, no. So the America First people, or the people who just think the government should serve its own citizens, which, let me remind you, is the only legitimate rationale for representative government. In other words, if the government is not representing its own citizens, if it doesn't care about its own citizens, it's not only off track, it's illegitimate. It has no basis to govern because it's a representative democracy. So you are morally bound, you're legally bound to represent your own people. That's the only purpose of having a government in our country, is to represent our people. And if you're not doing that, you're not legitimate.
Which brings us to the last point, which is that if Ben Shapiro represents the ruling class, if Ben Shapiro represents who's in power in America today, then it fails the first test of government. Because a government that does not represent the people that it's meant to govern is illegitimate. It is illegitimate. And Tucker concludes by making this point. And that is why America First will prevail. That is why America First, according to Tucker, is unstoppable, because these people have failed Americans. They don't care about Americans. They have no right to rule Americans. Fantastic argument by Tucker. Absolutely brilliant. 10 out of 10. S tier. And I found it fascinating that this whole feud has made Tucker and Nick Fuentes as well bring out their absolute A game. They've come out swinging and they are thriving on the rivalry, whereas Shapiro is dwindling. Shapiro has brought nothing. Shapiro has exposed himself. Shapiro gets weaker and smaller, visibly smaller, as this feud goes on, as he's being crushed by these amazing displays of logic, argumentation, and rhetoric from Tucker and from Nick as well. It has to be said, on night after night, he's there killing it as well. So let's tie a bow on it there. Let me know what you think. I honestly think that, I mean, there's no way back from this. Tucker basically, at the end of his demolition of Shapiro, said that it's over. In 5 years' time, there won't Ben Shapiro won't be a thing. He said, I promise you that. I love this confidence. I love the fact that Tucker's vision of the future was framed as being inevitable. and the demise of his enemies is inevitable because people aren't buying it anymore. They've been exposed. It's over, Ben. It's over. Absolutely over. And as if to demonstrate the fact, just today, as I'm recording this, Trump came out and defended Tucker.
The formula, yeah.
Mr. President, Tucker Carlson recently had a friendly interview with anti-Semite Nick Fuentes. Tucker Carlson. What role do you think Tucker Carlson should play in the Republican Party and the conservative movement going forward?
Well, I found him to be good. I mean, he said good things about me over the years. I think he's good. We've had some good interviews. I did an interview with him. We had 300 million hits. You know that. Look, I can't tell him. Will you let me finish my statement? You are the worst. You're with Bloomberg, right? You are the worst. I don't know why they even have you. We've had some great interviews with Tucker Carlson, but you can't tell him who to interview. I mean, if he wants to interview Nick Fuentes, I don't know much about him, but if he wants to do it, get the word out. Let him, you know, people have to decide. Ultimately, people have to decide.
And said, I can't tell Tucker who he's, you know, it's a free country. So even Trump, who has been so disappointing in so many other ways, you know, I don't like the fact that he threw Marjorie Taylor Greene under the bus, for example, but even Trump has come out defending Tucker against these scumbags. It's a demolition, I tell you, an obliteration. It's not even close. It's not even close. That's the kind of irony of it all. Incredible. All right. That'll do. Pick up a course, like I said. Pick up Applied Elite Theory, and I'll see you all tomorrow. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.